This week on RSVNB Update, Incendiary Shot has been fixed, and it's a bug fix, not a nerf. We detail why it should be thought of as such. Also, auras can be paused, and Krosis gets tweaked. The 4-3 Frontier Yak Track also arrives, and we detail what a 70-task Yak Track means. This is RSVNB Update, episode 924, recorded Thursday, March 2nd, 2023. An incendiary strike. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week, as is modern tradition with the Yak Track, is Zant. Welcome.
Hello.
Zant is a... is a longtime community member, and his most recent claim to fame is the Legends Guild created in Unreal 5, which we encouraged everybody on last week's episode to go and nominate for Golden Gnome. So if you haven't done that, just go press the pause button, fill that out. You can find the link to the Golden Gnomes form in the Legends Guild in the show notes at update.show. But we're going to be talking about Yak Track this week, amongst other things. Some juicy, and you might say incendiary, patch notes and ninja strikes.
Well, thank you for the fanfare, Shane.
Of course, of course. The only fanfare we don't have is we don't have like an audio cue to say, like, announce the royalty that you created with that Legends Guild.
Is that a pun having to do with the Yak Track theme?
It was.
Oh gosh.
It was.
Get me off the show right now.
Catch him.
I'm not even Sirion, so.
All right, Shane.
You've obviously been hanging out with him a lot this week.
Well, we have, but nonetheless, thanks for joining us, everybody. You want full show notes? You can find those at update.show, especially last week's the Legends Guild nomination for Golden Gnomes, but also the Mod Sermon Behind the Crown. All that is there. You can also join our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord or our friends chat, Bits Bytes, as well. You can find me with that in-game at chain12088. Tanis is at Tanis79, and Zant is iZant. Okay, introductions out of the way and obligatory Legends Guild advertisement out of the way. please go vote for that or nominate that. But it's Ninja Strike Week this week. How did you guys feel when you saw what was up on the table here?
I don't even know.
Okay, well, let's start with a simple one then. Let's ease into it, okay? Let's ease into this Ninja Strike from and Game Jam patch note.
Are you gonna be easy on us, Shane?
Well, it starts easy with the fact that the Wilderness Sword 4 can now be reclaimed again.
Could it not before?
That's what I thought when I saw that patch note too. I was like, oh, there was a time when you couldn't reclaim it. That would suck.
Yeah, and I'm betting it was a bug and it just disappeared for a bit because that would make sense. And of course, there's also, as we talked about last week, the hotfix that was made to the Clan Citadel XP buff that they're calling slightly. That was a 50% increase. We did go deep into that last week. But then we get to the Ninja Strike, and we're going to start off, and, you know, there's things like the curator for the Elder God Wars quest is now available in Berthorpe, and the characters from that quest series are in their correct state and locations where they should be. But by far, the patch note that drew the biggest amount of, criticism from the community was this one this week, talking about Chincendiary Shot, otherwise known as Incendiary Shot with Chinchompas.
Not yet. Can you give us some more lube before we do this?
No, we're just starting off right now with this. And in what
that's
they're
not
called-
how it works, Shane.
We're starting off with what they call a minor rework. A minor rework where it will no longer double dip into the area of effect if used alongside Chinchompas or other similar effects. And of course, the other similar effect that they're talking about is things like the decimation wilderness special attack. Now, they say it will also have respect damage buffs that the player has applied, meaning its damage will be increased by the likes of Death Swiftness, and it can now critically strike where it could not critically strike before. So on the surface of this, you would think that this is a small patch note, and this is going to be a buff to it, right? So
it is a small patch note.
It is for what it does. And the way we're going to do this here is we're going to go through what the ability does, what it's supposed to do, and what it now does, and where the community felt that it should have been with this. And to start off with, this is an ultimate ability, a ranged ultimate ability that detonates after 3.6 seconds. It charges for 3 seconds and detonates the next tick. Now, what was happening with this is that there was a way of stalling this ability on a combat dummy and then switching to something like the Chinchampa. And then what would happen after this is that you would get, in effect, 3 incendiary shots. It would incorporate the AoE of something like the Chinchampa or the Decimation Spec, leading to huge, huge hits. And, you know, people were using this for crazy PVM feats in areas like Rise of the Six. And it led to that boss instance being one-ticked in some cases. Now, the interesting part about all this is, as a ranged primary user myself, this isn't something that I put my foot into when I use ranged. It was one of those sorts of interactions that, of course, requires a deep understanding of how ranged works, and it was used at the high end, the true high end of the PVM spectrum, and we'll put that in air quotes there. Now, whether, of course, that's a problem can be debated on later based on where the chips fall, so to speak. Now, the concern that the community has reiterated after this patch note this week is that this is, and this is what they're saying, this is either destroyed ranged or it's seen as an outright nerf to the ranged combat style. And when you look at this, it's very clearly wrong, since the ability was not working as intended on paper as it was designed. And this is just your daily reminder out there that because an interaction exists in-game or just has been sitting in-game for a while doesn't mean it's working as intended and that's going to, in effect, become a core part of the meta. I feel like a lot of people in our community, the RuneScape community in particular, forget about that. And as such, you have this huge outcry when something like this has changed. Now, of course, there's also the question of ability stalling for high-level PVM, which opens up an entirely different discussion. And this is something that I feel should be addressed and smoothed over personally, is that it's a discussion around the idea, should RuneScape's core tick mechanics and knowing those down pat be required for learning the highest tier PVM, where in effect you need to in effect stall your abilities for this to in effect make this one ability do 3 times more damage? Or, and this is where I fall down, should these issues be smoothed out and made more intuitive over time? And to say this is a nerf to ranged is very sensationalist, as we know, parts of this community love to do, and it misses half the argument. Now, the discussion going forward, and this is the other half of argument that's missing on this, is whether or not abilities like this should be brought up in power when something is fixed that was not working as intended and is seen as resulting in a general DPS loss. Now, Mod Sponge, for his part this week, has been transparent on this, that he's monitoring the situation regarding this and is open to further changes going forward, and that's the best that the community can hope for right now. So, Tanis, do you want to go in on this, or Zant?
Oh, put me in, coach.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. Well, I just want to say what I'm about to say applies to a slice of a sub-community, right? Like, you have your PVM community. I believe this is what we've referred to before as a very vocal minority.
Yeah, Montjack even said it on his stream this week that the high-end PVM community sees themselves as a bigger portion of the player base than they actually are.
Well, they see everything as bigger than it is, and that's one of the problems. I want to reassure them about that. When you say, like, they look at it as a nerf, yeah. Okay, maybe it is. But it's a nerf that it wasn't... You can see with the changes that were made that it obviously was not working as intended. Or they wouldn't have had to, like... Because they buffed it as well, right? But they didn't even buff it. It was, like, making it work with the things that it should
work with.
It was
making it work
with... not work with what it wasn't supposed to work with.
Right, but...
That is all that they did here.
But the buffs they did also didn't bring it up to where it was before in terms of the amount of
damage it could do. It doesn't matter what it... I know, but what they did
And I just want to say that just so we're being 100% honest and covering both sides here.
Well, I'm being 100% honest when I say they made it work with the things they wanted it to work with, and they made it not work with the things it was never intended to work with.
Bingo. And you can't call that a nerf. That is a bug fix.
Because it had always been a bug. And it takes a lot of gall to criticize a bug fix. Like that...
Do you want to go into the language you're using in pre-show, or perhaps not?
Well, I said it takes a lot of balls, and it does. Because, I mean, just the sheer, like, arrogance of that. Like, it's beyond me, you know? I want to reassure those people that are just losing their minds over this. Here, listen to me. Your prick ain't gonna get any smaller. It's going to be just the same 3 inches it is tomorrow as it was today. It doesn't matter. This fix didn't make anything, any difference.
Sheesh.
Absolutely the same. I'm telling, and you know what? We're going to see an example of how that community differs from every other community in the game. We're going to see that here a little bit later. Because I'm over this. I am over... Every time a patch note comes out that they try to bring something in order, we throw a shit fit, and then we get our goddamn way, and they say, oh, well, let's just make 4-ticket a thing now. I mean, it's a feature. We didn't mean that, guys. Kidding.
Incendiary shot's going to hit 3 times now with a future update, right?
Don't be surprised. Right? Like, don't be surprised. And I see it time and time and time again, and I'm over it.
And it's like, also a bit of gatekeeping, too, because you don't go to the wiki to learn that to get the best DPS using ranged, you need to stall an ability with an equipment switch, either to a Chinchomp or some other weapon. It's very niche. It's very much in the realm of gatekeeping, of having... that highest level of DPS available for that, when in reality, every tier of DPS, you should be able to learn and access from information that's in the game. You shouldn't need to go to third parties to know that you, in effect, need to, you know, hold your firepower for that amount of time and do a weapon switch. And I described this in producer's chat, I think, of standing on one foot, patting your stomach and rubbing your head while reciting a haiku.
Yeah. Well, it kind of amounts to, you know, people that need to tell other people just how awesome they are and how big they are. Typically, very big. They're wee little guys. And it's the same thing. Look how cool I am. Look at the numbers I can put up. Man, it doesn't make a bit of difference. All it's doing is making this work the way it's supposed to work. And you know that. Right? You know that. Like, this wasn't something you discovered because you were some badass. You discovered it. It was a bug. And you know that.
Zat, where do you come in on this? Because you're a ranged person as well.
I just don't see why somebody would be telling Jagex, no, don't fix this. Like, when they've literally come out and said it's a bug fix. And you can clearly see, because the fact that it works with Death Swiftness now and can critically strike, like, it just was not working as it was. So, do they want to, like, put it back how it was? Like, I don't get it, dude.
Did you use this when you PVM? Because
I have sure. never. No, I have never okay. used this. I'm not that deep into it. I'm pretty. Like, I try to be decent with my gear and my rotations and stuff, but I'm pretty casual when it comes to PVM. Like, I don't dip into the extreme switchscape and stuff like that. So this is definitely way above my head, and just hearing about all the noise about this patch just kind of makes me...
Yeah, and you know, another thing that that reverberated out from this one was that if you're using it in, of course, a rotation with Death Spore arrows, that also, of course, messes up the entire Death Spore arrow rotation, because anybody who uses Death Spores and arrows and whatnot, specifically the Dine arrows, know that you need to, you know, have pretty much a tick-perfect rotation on that. So those are rotations that if you want to incorporate the new incendiary shot into it, well, the way you were doing it before, it goes out the window. So that was another criticism I saw of that. And you know, I feel like the response to this community feedback on incendiary shot is going to determine, I think, the integrity of the Combat Council going forward, in that I see there's three options that they have on this. One, they buckle down of where they're at right now and keep on this path, maybe to an incendiary shot up. The other one is that they leave it exactly as it is and don't do anything with it. And then the third one would be what you said, Zan, and do a complete 180 on this and put it back to how it was. And personally, based on the feedback that was here, I'm always in the category of nerfing up rather than nerfing down, which means, of course, if you have a bug fix that results in a nerf, well, find some other way to add an additional column of power to that skill that's,
oh boy,
that's accessible.
Yeah. That's quite dangerous in RuneScape.
I know, it is.
It is very dangerous, especially with something like this, where it is an unintended little side effect,
yeah,
and it ends up being just an absolute DPS pump. And that kind of sets the course for where they're setting the balance in the future to match that from something that was unintentional. That's very ass
right.
backwards.
And see, that's the thing. Should you be coming up with a nerf in game, or sorry, not a nerf, a buff into game based off of this community feedback? And that's a discussion that the Combat Council mm-hmm. needs to have. Whereas you can either buff it after this, you can leave it as is, or you can do 100% 180 on this. And I think the smart move on this would just be to leave it as it is right now.
Yeah, isn't there a
until
thing
time
not,
comes to add something new to ranged in the future?
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure. I mean, I feel it's at least worth acknowledging. Like, if you were a player who was at the level that where you were using this and this patch happened, sure, you're doing less damage now. But I think at the same time, you need to be willing to, like, prioritize the betterment of the whole game over you just getting some extra DPS.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
holy
like,
shit.
Like,
there's
I've killed
people out there.
I've killed every boss. I've killed every boss in game except for Rise of the Six, because I just haven't bothered to go get that yet.
It
with range without
intention.
Using this.
It's and not what Jagex intended for this to be.
Exactly.
Like, why would you argue that they should keep something in the game that is not behaving how they want it to behave? That is the worst thing you can do for the game health.
Yep. And so, if Jagex goes back on this, they've lost all integrity whatsoever. You're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists. Why is that, Shane? Why do you not negotiate with terrorists, Shane?
Because then you'll be expected to, you know, give in and bend and do even more next time.
Oh, well, ding, ding, ding. And how many times did they negotiate with terrorists? And I wonder why they're terrorizing with this one.
And, I mean, I'd even go so – and I was feeling this way this week with this, and we'll see where this goes on this, whereas, like, if this is going to be what PVM and RS is going to become, I don't even want a PVM anymore. If this is the path it's going to take, if it's going to need to, in effect, be buffed up because of the community on this. And you know, I'd probably, if they went back on this or outright buffed it going forward or didn't just add something new to ranged on this, I'd probably sell my PVM gear at this point.
Honestly, well, I feel like this kind of similar thing is what's making it kind of harder for me to PVM nowadays, because...
Yeah.
you know, back in like around the time where Next came out, where I was PVMing a lot. I was like top tier then. I loved doing it then. But to get to that point now, it feels like you're basically not even playing the game anymore. You're playing kind of like this numbers game that's kind of tangential to the game and just trying to figure out how to squeeze any little ounce of damage you can out of
just tick stuff manipulation.
It's just, well, it's ability gotten stone, so...
not tick manipulation, but it falls under that same general category.
I mean, I look back to a little like somewhat abusive mechanics that have existed in the past, like walking next to a corner to abuse like ice face and stuff like that. We've taken stuff like that. We got stuff like that on crack nowadays.
That's so quaint.
I mean, I remember thinking that was insane because you're skipping a phase. But the shit we have nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Just, and then
that feel like nothing.
Right.
Like, give it back, please. Let me walk next to that corner again. Like, why not?
And then another one in the same category where they fix something and then it becomes a feature. Standing underneath Carapac for the lightning attack. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know that unless you've go neck deep into this community. And is that right?
No, and I want to know if it gets reversed, then what that tells me is anytime there's something that I don't like, all I need to do is get, you know, four or five friends together and just raise hell on Reddit and I'll get what I want eventually.
Or become somebody who streams RSPVM and do that.
Oh yeah, I mean the favoritism to, you know, 10 freaking players at the top, I don't get it. At some point you gotta put your foot down, and for God's sake, let that be a bug fix. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, I told you the Ninja Strike would be spicy or incendiary.
I know, and it ain't even over yet.
No, we're gonna get there.
There's more,
but the next one's good. The timer for an active aura will no longer decrease while logged out, and this does not include the Green Fingers aura.
Okay, so this is heavily appreciated.
Way long overdue.
I must say, it's a little different from what I expected. To the point where I feel like I just had really high expectations for this. I expected to be able to just like pause it like you would a book.
Right.
For example.
Right.
But still, this is great. I have never been a fan of basically having to book an hour for PVM. That just has never felt good to me.
Or, you know, you just want to do your Reaper.
Or you're just in the middle of something.
Right.
Or you're in the middle of something and you want to finish your Reaper before your instance runs out and you need to go pee and you don't want to because you want to make sure you can actually do it and I have to buy another instance. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
Or not by another instance, but just do kills without your aura, rather.
And I bet this... Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is kind of like the bright side for me this week, like, or one of the bright sides for me this week. I think it's going to be a candidate for patch note of the year. I really
Ooh,
do.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's that impactful. Take it from somebody that does a lot of AFK skilling. I lose a lot of time on auras because I'll skill while I'm, say, like I'm, you know, at work, right? And you're doing something, you're working on something, but you got RuneScape going on over here on the side. Well, there's sometimes, you know, a call is going to come in. You're going to grab the call. You're gonna log, and then when you come back, well, now your aura is half gone. You're going, I have to take that call, man. You know, like, I'm at work. But having, you know, when I logged in this week and I was like, I still have my lumberjack. What's going on? And I was like, oh, it's a patch note. It just made my day. I mean, it really made my day. And it also, it makes it so I don't have to, I don't have to double my auras every single time. I used to do that just in case because I knew I was going to lose part of it from one way or another. So I get my full hour now, which I just think this is a great patch note.
Good.
You know what this is also great for? It's great for when you have this thing called ADHD and in the middle of your PVM when you want to go get a snack. Your venture to get a snack turns into cleaning your whole kitchen. Mm. And then you come back with 5 minutes on your aura and you're just like, screw it. I don't want to do it anymore.
That's fair.
Oh, so many use cases for that. Wonderful.
But yeah, I think the implementation with just like making it pause when you log out, that's probably the best way to do it, honestly. Yeah.
And I mean,
wait,
hey,
just auto log, then you're good.
Just they could have just added another book slot if they wanted to make them books, like you said, Zan.
Sigil slot?
Yeah. Oh, God, that. Right. That was an episode.
Well, that was a legit ship bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did our character hold the sigil? Where did it go? Was it in like a little shirt pocket or?
I have no idea.
Do we just have like a little built-in sigil pouch on our person? Like, I don't know. Like kangaroos. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we kept it in our prison wallet.
Yes.
All right. The player is now able to rot fungus while performing various actions during the fight with Croesus. Why is that funny?
That's not funny.
Because you didn't laugh. That's what's so funny.
What?
Because I think you missed it all together, Shane.
No, it's nothing, Tannis.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's normal. I mean, if you're, you know, you're in that situation.
Okie dokie, then. But rot fungus while performing various actions during the fight with Croesus. I'm betting this is, you know, your woodcutting, your fishing, your hunting, your mining and whatnot there. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, this is one of Maud Blackwitch's ones coming up next. Improve the lighting in the Orthon Oublette where Raksha is imprisoned, and there's a before and after screenshot on the news post here. And
this is a good one.
It's you know, just really, really good in terms of how the RuneScape environment is able to evolve like this. And, you know, I'll even say in the few times I've fought Raksha that it's one of the most dark areas in the game. And I feel like with this, it would probably be a case where I wouldn't need to use the Day Skybox in there anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, because this one still is using the Day Skybox, I believe. Or not. No, I mean, I'm sorry, I completely misinterpreted.
Oh, okay.
What I was going to say is I really want to see more updates like this to more interiors, like caves and such, because when they're using point lights like this now, that negates the need to have the big directional light. And that's always one thing that's looked kind of weird about RuneScape interiors to me. Like, you have that constant shadow on your character at all times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this, yeah, that doesn't have to be the case anymore. So seeing that applied to some place like Raksha, which is, you know, a full boss fight, that's awesome to see. I love it. And it looks great, too. Like, that one shot of... I think the last phase where you're in the spot where you're standing over the green thing with the light coming up through, that looks so good.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what the fun part about this is? I mean, despite how cumbersome that boss fight is with all of its prayer switches and whatnot, the environment really steps, leaps, and bounds into what we can just say is modern RS. So very, very well done on that. Next up, the Necklace of Salamancy is easier to obtain while skilling. We don't have exact rates on this. And the Necklace of Salamancy can now be put into your keepsake box as an override. So about 10 months after the fact, we get what we wanted with making that little salamander necklace easier to obtain from the Dream of Aya. So I remember how much of a pain that was for people who wanted that the week after the quest release, but they just had to keep waiting. And waiting, and waiting.
Mm-hmm. And waiting.
I got one before I completed the requirement on there. Did you guys? Or did you guys bother completing that lore book requirement?
Never went back.
Okay.
Don't think I have.
Okay, that's a Master Quest Cape requirement if any of you guys are interested. But.
Someday.
All right, moving on to October Game Jam. These are Mod Stew's improvements to the Ichlerin's Little Helper quest. So the quest giver no longer requires a tinderbox and a full water skin.
Good.
Just a weird thing from years past. Trapdoors in Clenter's Pyramid are now outlined and remain open for a couple of minutes when triggered. Wonderful. Reduced inconvenient random mechanics, like the probability of falling down a pit, randomization of the tile puzzle, etc. The tool belt can now sap trees, including Acadia trees, and provide salt for the embalmer. Clearer guidance and less backtracking. As well as made some interactions, like using the unholy symbol on a sarcophagus, more mobile friendly. Perfect. I know this is something we always talked about as was going to be needed when they brought mobile in. And Ictlarin has been updated to use his latest character model.
I feel like I know where this came from.
Oh?
Yeah, this little experiment they did about a couple months back.
And, Fresh Start World stuff, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because guess who had to do that quest? Just about everybody.
Yeah, it's not one that I did on my first start.
You know, I never really considered.
I had to do it for smoking kills.
Oh, of course, Slayer.
Yeah. So anybody that did Slayer had to go through that, and it was AIDS.
All right.
I really considered that Fresh Start was just a great way to get some eyes on a lot of old quests.
Yeah, it really was.
And to show really that a lot was. Of that old content really isn't that crappy as people thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got the RuneScape writing and stuff. I mean, it's still enjoyable.
Yeah, it just needs a little buff around the edges, some of it.
Yeah.
They added a new crafting category to the gameplay settings under Skills and Experience, and also added a toggle for receiving noted clay from the modified Artisan's Bandana. And the note is that when first-time players receive items from the Bandana, they'll now have the option to choose whether they'd like noted or unnoted clay. Ready for round two, Tannis?
Ready for round two.
Rebalance the Krosis drop tables and hunting experience. Dev note. After monitoring the gameplay flow of the encounter, it became obvious that it was tuned a little too high. Solo trash runs were providing to be the best method of skilling Hunter, and drop rates were injecting more materials and gold than intended. We have now reduced these rates to better maintain the intended value of the boss, while not overshadowing other methods of experience gain. We will be monitoring these changes further, and will continue to tune the encounter where applicable. And on that, Hunter XP has been reduced from the central node by 33%, from enriched nodes by 66%, from non-enriched nodes by 66%, from the darkened fungus by 66%, and from additional nodes around the Dagonoth by 66%. And people aren't
that's over half.
And people aren't aware of this. But if you had a Hunter Yak track, the best way to do that Hunter Yak track was to go into a solo Krosis encounter, skill the Dagonoth, go out and reset.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best Hunter XP in the game.
Which, still skilling. A skilling boss.
Yeah.
Where you're getting skilling XP. But yet, and this is a 66%.
And we need to be clear. And we need to be clear that this is a bug fix just like the Incendiary Shot bug fix.
Oh. Exactly. And we're well aware.
And you can say its incendiary shot was cut down by a third because it was hitting for three times and then it only hit for one, but it got some on top. Whereas this is just
a third.
This is just a third nerf.
A third seems like it's less than two thirds.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The weird thing though is I didn't read any incendiary post about Hunter this week. Did you?
No.
Did I miss something?
No.
Huh. And it seems like we have an essay on how you have to deal with things.
Big thunk.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the sound you hear there. Big thunk.
I said big thunk.
Thunk or thunk?
Oh, it's that stupid little thinking emoji.
Oh, okay.
That has its little face all tucked up next to his nose.
Yeah, and all red and... whatnot, right?
No.
Okay, we're thinking a different emoji then.
thong.
Well,
here you go. It's in your DM, Shane.
Thank you. Let's do the drop table changes, then we'll compare and contrast here. They removed uncut onyx and replaced it with onyx dust. They changed the medium auric halcom salvages from 3 to 5 to.
Did it just straight up drop onyxes before?
Yes.
I thought it was dust. That's interesting.
No.
Well, good that they did that then. That's just consistent.
Yeah, they removed. They changed crystal keys from 8 to 12 to just 8. Red spider eggs from 45 to 55 to 20 to 30. Limpwort roots from 35 to 45 to 17 to 27. And you know, limpwort roots, those are farmed, right? Why don't we give that the herb treatment and remove them entirely and just add some limpwort seeds? That's the farmer talking.
Option.
Reduce grapevine seed drops from 10 to 14 to 6 to 10. Reduce cockatrice egg drops from 40 to 50 to 5 to 10. Yeah, those had really hit the toilet in terms of value. Reduce Mortmeyer mushroom drops from 45 to 55 to 20 to 30. Reduced uncut diamonds, 15 to 25 to 5 to 15. Uncut rubies, 35 to 45 to 17 to 27. And uncut emeralds, 35 to 45 to 17 to 27. And they also altered the contribution thresholds as well, making it so that you need to do more to get more from the boss. I'm okay with the Croesus drop table changes, because when we were last doing Croesus, the drop tables there had already caused most of those things, like the emeralds and the rubies and the cockatrice eggs and the spider eggs to go way, way down. So I'm actually okay with that. But you're right, Tanis. It is the tale of two patch notes in two different communities in terms of the reaction here.
Very much so. And look,
and to be fair, Croesus is still a good money farm. But continue.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I'm fine with the changes to the drop table at Croesus. The only thing I will say about that is I would, at some point, like to see some parity with the drop tables across the game. And what I mean by that is if they have the numbers, so obviously they know if Croesus needed it or not. Not arguing that. But you know what else I would like to see get this treatment? One boss in particular.
What's that?
Telos.
All right.
I think that needs the same treatment because it's been a slot machine for so long. And
which drops are you thinking of there in particular?
Oh gosh, I mean the commons.
And are you thinking,
right?
like sub 100, 999, 2449, what?
Well, I mean that's where the rich comes in, right? Cuz I don't know. But whatever, when someone tells me like the average is 60 mil an hour there, I feel like that should be rethought. because I think that that's all coming from like from commons. It's not even
rare. I mean that's the way drop tables are balanced. That was on Jack's live stream this week, and we'll touch on that next week.
I think Croesus, you know, that's it's fine. It was obviously needed to happen. I just think it's kind of funny how not only did they hit the XP, they hit the drop tables, and yet the only thing you heard about was this one little ability with the most niche setup that only the top half of 1% could ever even hope to use it. And that's all you heard. Just blanketed the airwaves.
Yeah. And to be fair, I hope that CM is able to cut through all that noise. and work with that plus the analytics to know what they actually need to be doing for the game.
I mean, at this point, I think you have to stick with the analytics. Yeah. Like, just period. Because it's an... They're punching way above their weight, right? Like, they're not as many in number as people think. It's, I'm telling you. You know, it's... I would be surprised if it was over 0.5% of even that community.
In terms of what?
People that were able to use that.
Oh, in terms of the PVM community who were able to use Incendiary Shot to its fullest. I see.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the people who aren't really that fussed about it just aren't saying anything. You're not going to hear that they're not fussed about it. They're just not going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, too. I mean, I guess it's hard to prove negative in that way. But.
And to just devil's advocate with you, Tanis, on the Krosis changes... It's also entirely possible that everybody who does Krosis still at this point is 100% aware that the boss was losing value and sees these changes as a buff to their value. And that's what I'm saying.
Probably, because even at that, look at the difference, though, for why these changes were... Incendiary Shot was a legit bug that... It wasn't working the way it was intended. Krosis just ended up being a little bit too good, and they needed to tone it down.
To maintain its value.
If anything was going to cause a ruckus, shouldn't it be the thing? I mean, it shouldn't be the bug. It should be the thing actually getting a nerf. Right?
Yeah. But at the same time, it's also very easy to frame the Krosis changes as a buff.
I mean, you can frame it however you want. I just think that...
Because those eggs had like very, very low value.
Right. But no one's crying about it. And it wasn't even a bug. It was actual value taken down.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just shows the difference between subsections, I think.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. So also with Krosis, the following auto collectors will no longer place drops into the player's inventory during the Krosis encounter, including the Charming Imp, Seedicide, Legendary Pet with Scavenge ability, and they say the Charming Imp and Seedicide will still be able to convert drops to XP as before. Also, skilling nodes within the Krosis boss encounter can now be bladed dive, and there they go through some pun here, bladed dove or bladed doved onto. They will start the skilling action. And adjusted the examine text for the Ulfami statue to now be in line with the other Slayer of X statues present in the Krosis arena. Then we're going to move on to December Game Jam, but before we do that, I want to thank our Patreon supporters this week for sticking with us, and hopefully we are providing the riveting commentary you've come to expect from us here, and you guys aren't ready to run away after our honest and straight discussion this week. So this week I'd like to thank Alaska, Alfie S, Amos Reed, Anatoly D, Andrew C, Arvids L, Aubrey A, Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Enrique V, Free Milk, G. Hammy, Guy Lafleur, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, GMM, Keski, Ling01, Malinoric, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Ricky A, Rippeth, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Snub Eve, Tabby, Tanner JW, The Naked Captain, The Dabbin' Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazakon. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Truly means the world to us. And if you're wondering what all this is about, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/RSBNB. There we offer a number of tiers, starting for as little as a dollar a month. And in supporting the podcast, you'll get a special mention in our show notes and access to an entire back catalog of monthly bits, including the one we did and just published this week, on a discussion about how RuneScape can grow. It was one of the classic Shane, Tanis, and Sirion monthly bits where we go into a topic of a deep topic on RuneScape philosophy or just how RuneScape is doing in general and kind of paint the picture of where we go. It's a very different one than we normally do on those. Those who are frequent connoisseurs of the monthly bit will know, but we also have other monthly bits out there covering things like Altscape, holiday events, and of course the tier list that were our daily scape tier list, the skill tier list, and the PVM boss tier list, all those and more you can gain access to for only $1 a month. Then we have the VIP tier for $3 a month. We receive a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, chat channel access, and a rank on Discord, as well as high-quality stereo versions of the show. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for allowing us to do what we do here. It truly means the world to us. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. December Game Jam. The quest filter checkboxes are now listed under a filter button and labeled with consistently positive language. The confusing recommended checkbox has also been removed, and quests can now be sorted and filtered from the quest list child in a similar manner to the Adventures and Quest parent interface. And Modstu had posted this the week before on a Reddit thread just to get people ready for the change, because we all know how user interfaces can be and that sometimes when it comes to making these UI changes, they don't necessarily go over well with the community. But I think with the changes we had here, they turned out to be pretty good. So I just love the way this was done here from Modstu's side. Because under the filter menu now, you have show locked, show completed, show quests, and show mini quests. Then you can filter by length, alphabetical, area, combat, fifth, sixth age, free members, progress, release date, series, and timeline. I always use free members filtering because that's just the way my quest list started back in the day, and that's the order I'm familiar with. But the UI also feels very responsive with this, so. Well done. Well done. Next up, the Charles Clue Carrier takes items from the bank and inventory if used from the inventory inside of the bank interface. Feels like this one was a long time coming. I don't know.
Don't do clues, but...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Which of the three of us here do the most clues, right?
Yeah.
But here's one we can all benefit. The Ring of Kinship is now kept on death.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What was the weird quirk with this? If you died with it, you had to reset it or something.
You had to go get a new one.
Okay, I thought there was something that you had to reset, like
and you know, getting to Demonheim without the Ring of Kinship is sometimes kind of fun. Yeah.
Okay, but I thought you also had to like reset the locks or something on it. No, or am I thinking of some other item? If you died with it,
so.
Okay. I feel like there was some weird thing that needed to be
like a dungeoneering thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think there is. Okay. Like, I think you might be thinking of like the prestige reset, but I don't think it has to do with that.
Okay. Okay. They also added a right-click make all runes option within the Wicked Hood interface.
Nice.
More quest improvements for Olaf's quest. You no longer need a spade in your inventory to enter the cavern, as there's a patch of snow that you can dig. If you fail the agility obstacle, you'll be placed within the cavern. The agility obstacle will no longer forcibly toggle your run, and you can no longer fail the agility obstacle randomly. And if you run, you will always fail, and if you walk, you will always succeed. And the large block of ice on the entrance has been replaced by small rocks for players who did not take part in the Easter 2011 event. Good. And I do have to say, this is a lot better having these detailed out rather than I think it was something with the big chompy quest that we had at the tail end of last year of having just, you know, hey, big chompy bird hunting has been improved. It's nice to see what the actual improvement is. So if there's anybody listening who is in charge of writing these patch notes and bringing these sorts of things forward, yes, this is the way it should be.
Yeah, this is nice. Once again, I feel like, I mean, this would have been happening during Fresh Start, but when you get that many eyes on that content, I mean, I can see this continuing throughout the year.
Yeah, these sorts of things happen with that, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep in mind, these were game jam projects. So the dev in question, Mod Stew, I think this was Mod Stew as well, had to make the decision to do this. So we owe this to the passion of the developers out there. So everybody remember that when you read these patch notes. But that's it for patch notes this week. And with that, I think we move on to Yak Track. The 4-3 Frontier Yak Track.
We're not out of the woods yet.
Should I just bite the bullet and rip the Band-Aid off?
Yeah. Only one way.
Okay. Yak Track now goes to 70 tasks. And they added an additional 2 weeks to complete it.
Yeah.
Continuing until May 15th now.
Yeah.
What was your guys' initial thoughts on this?
Well, personally, I was a bit hyped at the start because I thought this was just going to mean we're going to get a shit ton of cosmetics this time. Maybe a little bit more variety instead of just two outfits, but...
Yeah.
No. If anything, the additional outfits are in the coin store.
Yeah, which we'll get to. We'll get to what a climb that is. But I want to actually just highlight... Oh, that's interesting. Folks watching on the video version will, of course, know that around these Yak Tracks, I show off the environment in game. And Zant just walked up to me, and has the title Naughty I Zant.
You know it.
All right. But yeah, that aside, 70 tasks, and I did run the numbers on this one. It is 3.05 hours per day if you were to just play this Yak Track with the skill and kill, whereas the previous Yak Track was 3.04. So pretty much the same if you're going to do skill and kill. So I don't think we have to sound the alarm bell on that, right?
It's the same daily.
Yes.
But obviously, you know, that's going to be more altogether. I mean, look, my initial reaction, my first thought was, okay, it's a cash grab. And
you're right. You're right. We need to be 100% honest to say that's what it is. And things like battle pass mechanics, which Yak Track is, exist for that sole purpose, to provide the people who play the game and the people who play the game who are the most dedicated players of it to get something out of it for that playtime they put in, and maybe encourage them to put a bit more time into it or spend money on skips. 100% honest on that.
Yep. And that being said,
I have no problem with that because that's a money making mechanic and I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm not mad about it because it's not like we didn't get something. Yes, there's more tasks, but you still got a reward after every task. Whether that's a lamp or dwarven toolbox or portable, you know, skilling pack, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're still getting a reward, right? You still have the choice whether you're going to skill and kill, or I would say this actually pushes you into doing the other task even more.
It does. It does.
Which is basically bringing it in line with how it's supposed to be, but having the option that if you have the time, then you can just do what you're doing. It's like I told Sierra on the other day, you can still play exactly how you're going to play. Maybe you don't finish it. It doesn't matter, but it's something you can take or leave. It's just happening in the background. If you don't want to actively
do it,
you're still going to get the rewards.
But get this. You don't have much of a choice here. Task 57, if you're 99 fire making, burn 1,350 elder logs or driftwood. You're not going to do that because those are, you know, north of 1,000 or GP more each.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah. But then you have the next one, woodcutter mine ore, 382, bane, adamica. You can do that in a play session and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like some of the tasks really don't fit in that well in terms of how they're balanced on there. And I think with these task A's that are not the skill and kill, I think that they should be in order of magnitude faster than they are right now.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a difference between the task balancing and just saying the sky is falling because they've added 20 more tasks.
Yeah.
We have more time to do it. And like I said, to me, the thing is you're still getting a reward. Like every time you do a task past that 50, you're still getting a reward.
You're getting a yak coin. Like,
yeah. So I don't feel like this is that big of a deal. Like,
no, I don't.
It's not a conspiracy. That's a cash grab. Like, yeah, it is.
Battle passes are meant to be.
That's okay. I don't think that's in of itself like bad.
Yeah.
Let's
put a different frame on it first before we go too far down that of saying bad or not. They also added a whole bunch of alternate colored items to the Yak Track shop. With this, the Yak Coin Shop, that you need to be able to have Yak Coins to be able to purchase these alternate items. Would anybody on the panel like to take a guess of how many Yak Coins you'd need to purchase everything that was added this week?
Negative 87.
No.
I don't know.
101 Yak Coins.
Holy
to purchase
shit.
Everything that was added. In the Yak Shop with this Yak Track that is themed around it. Those are things like the colored royal shoulder capes, the Ilyankin fighter's outfit, the Ilyankin fighter's claw. And of course, these ones are also items from previous Yak Tracks, like the Ilyankin's traveler's bow and the fighter's claw, but they were added here. So if you wanted to purchase everything, you need 101 Yak coins to do that. They also added a telekinetic gold bar detonate ability override so that when you detonate, it will detonate with gold bars. That's an interesting one. And they also added a bunch of pet overrides in terms of different colored dogs and different colored cats that go alongside this. But suffice to say, you're still looking north of about 90 Yak coins if you wanted to buy everything themed, and 101 Yak coins if you wanted to buy everything new that was added here with this. And it's interesting I don't have the Ilyankin fighter's outfit. I thought I did that Yak track all the way. But that's that side of the equation. Then you get 20 Yak coins still for completing the entire track from 1 to 70. 10 come in the first 50 tasks, and 10 come in the second 20. And then every 3 hours you play after that, you get an additional Yak coin. So you start to see the huge wall that you're up against if you wanted to buy everything from the Yak coin shop.
That's a lot.
And why the economics of Yak Track Skip start to make sense for this, for Jagex at least.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, you're buying cosmetics, right?
Bingo.
Which is what everyone always says that they want.
Which is what they always said they should do, but I think it's clear at this point that cosmetics are not going to sell as well as XP on Treasure Hunter.
Yeah. I've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
And I guess direct purchase cosmetics are just not really a thing anymore.
I guess. I mean, Solomon's General Store was their first foray into that, but I'm trying to remember the last thing that was added aside from retro overrides there.
I'm still bothered by the fact that a lot of the Yatcoin store is stuff that you used to be able to get with oddments.
That's true.
And
yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
I cannot stand that.
Yeah, that's legit. No, I think that's a good point. But as for like new direct purchasable cosmetics, I mean, we did have the claws last week.
Yeah. But not actual, like, fully adorned
outfits.
Give me outfits.
Give me pets. Yeah. Give me whole weapon packs. Just do the same stuff you did with Solomon's General Store years ago.
Yeah.
Do that nowadays with all these high quality assets. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And I
bought my share from Solomon's back in the day.
And honestly, like, I did too. Same here. Yeah, I remember going to 7-Eleven to buy a RuneScape card to buy shit from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the cats and the dogs? Not trying to change the subject here, just keeping it on Yak Track Cosmetics.
So, as a proud owner of an orange cat.
Okay.
It's a little uncanny.
Okay.
But I think it's cute in the face. I just think the proportions are a little strange and... And I gotta say,
it's got a big tail.
My word, that login image is hideous. Like, I'm sorry. Don't take a screenshot of a model like this that close up for your login screen.
Oh, that's gonna be a thumbnail for the show.
Yeah, just like it looks great when it's just like behind you or like, you know, at a reasonable distance.
Yeah.
And also, can't believe I'm actually saying this on the show, but they actually put a butthole on the cat. If you look behind it, there is literally a butthole on the cat. They did it.
Well, they did it in cats too. So I mean,
they did it in RuneScape.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I'm not moving the free cam over there to get a shot of that on the video version. I'm just going to go with what's in the news post then. I'll believe you.
Yeah. I think the cat's cute.
I mean,
I also like the King Charles Spaniel dog. I think it's really cute. The brown one.
Yeah, is that his favorite kind of dog, then? Because the queen like corgis, is that what he keeps?
I have no idea.
Somebody in the UK let us know. Somebody who is a UK royal fan let us know. Because obviously that's not our area of expertise. There's also another yak override. Shoulder capes, a red and a blue shoulder cape. But as I mentioned, you also get these extra shoulder capes that you can purchase in alternate color variants from the Yakcoin shop.
So I haven't liked a shoulder cape ever.
Not even the Stargazer one?
No.
I wish they would have put that one in the Yak shop, in all honesty, rather than making it random.
Well, I mean, the shoulder capes that I can... remember, you know, were the wilderness and then the frost.
Yeah, I got the frost ones.
Right, I did too. And I got the wilderness one. I just, you know, I never really cared for them that much until I saw the royal shoulder cape and I said...
The noble or the... Oh, the royal.
The royal
yeah. Black?
That one I have to have. That was my favorite thing that I saw on the whole Yak Track. I'm like, yep, getting that. Gotta get that.
I like the red one. I don't know where the red one comes from that's on display here on the cape rack. Let's see, is that Yak coin or is that actual Yak Track? I'm going to check that.
Which red one?
The red one that's furthest right on the cape rack in front of you.
There. That one from a distance looks like it would look decent with like a Santa outfit.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, that's I was going to say, Shane would probably be thinking about that.
That's exactly where I was going on that. So I got to find where that one comes from. Anything else you guys interested in? Are you going to get the orange cat sand since...
Yeah, probably just the basic first one. Like, I don't care for many of the outfits it has. I just like the base orange cat. I think it's cute.
No.
But
and then the question with that, where does the graphical differences between the Gertrude cat quest and this cat come in then? Because we're talking about two different eras of graphic here. You can have one cat that is the quest cat, but then you have these premium cosmetic ones that are just in a league of their own otherwise.
The eternal struggle. Speaking of cat, here's mine. He jumped up on the desk.
I'm conflicted on this, if I'm going to be honest. Like, last time it was no brainer to complete the entire thing and go, you know, get some few extra yak coins for the Frost Shoulder Cape because that was the winter / Christmas yak track. But I'm not sure how I feel here today.
Another one I really like is this the lance over here that kind of looks like a candy cane.
Okay.
I think that one's just really nice. The shape of the base of it's really satisfying. Cool looking.
What are you going to say, Tannis?
I think I'm real curious to see if I'm going to complete this one. I think I will. You know,
I mean,
me.
You play enough with just, you know, doing skill and kill, probably, I'd say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I'll probably pretty much be doing skill and kill. I did just start a new book series, so that always helps. And I also have a new project in game that I'm working on, which is going to require the next, like, 5 years of my life. So
you becoming a PVMer?
No. I'm secure with myself. I mean, I feel pretty good about myself, you know. I don't,
oh God. I don't need that.
No, but I am trying to do 120 all, and we're working on woodcutting and construction right now.
Okay.
So I'm doing it old school, Shane. I'm cutting my logs down here in Tibotswana. I'll cut them up on my machine, and we're going to construct over there at Fort 4 and 3.
Oh, wow. That's taking an XP penalty on that. We'll talk more about that after. One other thing I did not mention is that on tasks 1 to 50, you get a yak coin every 5 tasks, but when you move on between 50 and 70, it becomes every 2 tasks.
Yeah. Yes. Hence the 10 and the end and the...
Yeah.
So it feels like so few yak coins are completing the whole track.
Oh, the Royal Shoulder Cape, the Christmas Santa one. That's the task 70 reward.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, have fun.
Yeah, that was the one I wanted, too.
Okay. I guess we're going there, eh?
Yeah.
I highly doubt I'll complete this one. Past couple of yak tracks for me have just... It just happened because I've been playing. I haven't, like, intently done it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that happened with the one on Fresh Start is I completed that one on Fresh Start as well just because I was on for so much. But, I mean, at this point, my goal is effectively, you know, just play the yak track at this point. So,
a request from Yak Track, though, give us some better crossbows. Like, I've been waiting for one of these to give us a really good-looking crossbow.
Whereas I don't think we have any... I don't think we have any bows for this one. They all look like they're melee.
Yeah, there's weapons. Not. So. Yeah, there's a crossbow over here, but I swear we have like 8 crossbows in game that have the little wing look to it.
No. But, I mean, monetization concerns aside, I think what we're looking at the end of the day is another yak track with cosmetics that fit very well into the modern incarnation of RS. They're done very well by their designers and whoever modeled them, of course. Mm-hmm. And we just need to, I think, come to the conclusion that this is the way monetization is going for RS3. It's going to be Yak Track plus Treasure Hunter, and that's going to be the bulk of the revenue that we see from RS3. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe at some point, these Yak Tracks could become lucrative enough that they could replace Treasure Hunter, but I honestly don't see that happening. You see that happening, Tannis?
No, I mean, I have to say, why? Why take away my Treasure Hunter?
Well, I mean, there's always the conversation in RS about whether or not monetization should be cosmetic or if there should be XP behind it.
Yeah, I know, and we used to churn our own butter too, didn't we?
Yeah, that was fun.
Ride horses, and we used to
milk the cow, churn the butter, and then away you go.
We used to have telegraphs, and yeah.
What is the point you are making?
I'm making that things change and it's okay. And if I want to drop some cash at the end of Fresh Start Worlds, that's my business. It's between me and Jagex.
Yeah, that's
Jagex fair. Has something I want, and I have something they want, money. So why is someone sticking their nose in my business?
Yeah, that's fair, and I think that also just speaks to the general audience of RS3 at this point. If I have to say so myself,
everyone does it. They might be quiet about it. Everyone's doing it.
I have done it once.
Hey,
just once.
Then you're not a virgin.
How about you, Zant?
Oh yeah. Not a lot, but at points I have.
Okay. All right.
Mostly around cosmetic stuff.
Yes. Yes. The only time I broke that rule was at the end of Fresh Start.
I mean, I've bought a package of keys before once. I mean,
yeah, sure. That was my first time, just once on that.
But more often than not, I just grab some rune coins if I want something.
Yeah, and I see that as being different, too, with bonds and whatnot. Because if you just need the rune coins, do it with bonds, right? And then you could, I think the biggest thing we all go through is keepsake keys and prismatic dyes. At least that's been my thing before. So
yeah, I'm definitely the kind of person who'd rather just spend a couple bucks than put 70 mil towards a bond.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, given current bond prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like slot machines.
Oh, here we go.
Just saying it.
Oh, lock boxes for RS when? All right. Well, that's it. That's it for Yak Track. And with that, I think we can move on to our achievements of the week. We went through the move to 70 tasks, the Yak coins, and the general rewards and the discussion on that. So, finishing up Double XP, starting off on March 1st. Well, this is after Double XP, but we have a big list because of Double XP. We have Crying Wolf with 120 summoning, Fire Frit with 120 fire making, NXDE with 99 farming. Those are all on the 1st. And on the 28th, we have Worst Tasker with 99 cooking. Then XOX, Scotty XOX with 120 prayer. Then on the 27th, we have Questar Ship with 120 thieving, Tabby Cat with 99 smithing and 99 agility, and Worst Tasker again with 99 runecrafting, then Zone X 9191 with 99 woodcutting.
All right, on the 26th, we had, oh my gosh, Ilithic with 99 runecrafting, God Shaman with 99 woodcutting, Greenyish with 99 woodcutting, Hyacliff with 120 fire making, Poison Nova with 120 hunter, Sayo Aces with 120 summoning, Sparty Pants with 120 summoning, Waffens with 99 fletching, Yahoo with 99 thieving, Zonex with 99 mining, and then on the 25th, Ilithic again with 99 mining, Rune Dragon with both 120 herblore and dungeon and 120 dungeoneering, Skomo's Deputy with 99 construction, hunter, and crafting, Terry Dex with 99 agility and cooking, and Worst Tasker with 99 woodcutting.
Nice. Then moving on to the 24th, we have Greenyish with 99 magic. We have Juju Macon with 99 thieving and 99 invention and 120 herblore. We have Poison Nova with 120 mining. We have Skromo's Deputy with 99 smithing and 99 agility. We have Skips with 120 slayer and Woody 1 with 120 defense and 120 cooking. Nice job, everyone.
Indeed. Well done, folks. Well done. And Zant, what do you got for pick of the week?
All right, so I don't know. For the past couple of years, I've always kind of been playing around with, you know, coming up with a solution for, like, gaming remote desktop stuff. You know, just to stream my PC games on my TV in the other room, for example.
Yeah.
I've used a couple of things like Steam Link and whatever. But nowadays, when I work from home on the days that I'm here, I connect to a remote machine via this thing called Parsec every day. And I do pretty heavy game development work. And I just cannot believe how well this application handles this whole thing. So pretty much it's a remote desktop application. You can connect two computers. So, you know, one's the host, one's the client, just like you'd expect from remote desktop. But the thing about Parsec that I think is great is they're very focused on making it work really well for apps like Adobe software and creative software, and as well as gaming specifically. It has great controller support. It captures the controller inputs through the remote desktop very well. Even unique controllers like the PS5 controller with a little touchpad and stuff of that nature, even like motion controls too. And I seriously cannot emphasize just how clean and how responsive it runs. Like, it basically doesn't feel like you are using a remote desktop. It's the latency is so low. Like, they've got to have some ridiculous servers or something. And one of the uses for this that I've started doing in my personal time, like using this outside of work, is I've got an old Microsoft Surface that just is, it's too slow to really do much of anything on nowadays, but I installed Parsec on it. And I can literally go sit at a Starbucks or coffee shop or whatever and just connect to their Wi-Fi on it, load up my home PC on Parsec, and then just do my After Effects and, you know, Unreal Engine stuff or whatever. And it just, it's clean. It works. And it's same thing for gaming and RuneScape too.
I'd imagine it would be more than adequate for RuneScape. I'd be interested to see how it performs with an FPS.
Yeah, it's very, very smooth. And I think the thing that's amazing is how low the latency is. It doesn't feel like there's a much of a delay when clicking or doing anything, especially controller inputs. When you're in a game, they feel very clean and very snappy and very responsive.
Because I know that's always an issue that even existed for the Xbox, because with the Xbox, there was always the ability to stream from your Xbox to a PC in another room and use it as another screen. But there was always a bit of delay there. So it never worked for first person shooters and whatnot, but it was adequate enough, you know, for like sports games and whatnot. I'd be interested to see where this lands.
But it's incredible. Every day I'm doing like 3D modeling work and working game engine stuff on it. And it holds up perfectly. And also unless you need their heavily advanced features, kind of just free to use. I mean,
yeah, I was just looking at the feature grid right now. Apparently, if you pay for the first individual tier, you can get pressure and tilt drawing tablet support.
Mm-hmm. And their multiple monitor thing is pretty nice too. You can just add a second screen if your other computer. Yeah, you can add virtual displays and, you know, basically just the size of them and everything. You can, and if you're working with like a client machine that has like a different aspect ratio than what you're working with on the host machine, it can support that too. Nice little things like that, I think, really make it feel just like a very nice and cohesive application for this. And it just works. It's very easy. It's very simple. Their application that you load up when you're trying to connect and everything is just very simple, very clean, very well designed. And also, I gotta say, their branding's beautiful.
Yeah, that's very important in this day and age, I will say.
And you can tell they've got a gaming focus too, because they've got these kind of like stylized 3D renders with nice like soft depth on it. It's really nice looking.
Yeah,
but
I would be jumping up and down if there's an iPad version of this. If I'm being honest. Because one thing we don't have on iOS is we don't have a desktop class professional audio editing workstation like Adobe Audition on the iPad. There's nothing I have seen that is as close to that. And you know, I'm not saying it's something that would get used every week, but it would be nice to have in the odd case of traveling and whatnot for remote editing. So
yeah. That's my one wish for it, is that they did have iOS support, but they just do not.
Yeah, I wonder if that will come in the future.
I think it is, because there is Android support. They have an Android app.
Okay.
And, you know, it runs on phones and stuff.
Yeah, so, and it looks like it uses H.265 encoding, which is right up iOS's alley, because that has built-in encoding for that on the platform. So, hardware-wise, should be no problem. But, yeah, I've heard briefly of this before, but never really have looked into it that much or had a use case for it. But this is definitely something I'll be pinning in my back pocket. You can find it at parsec.app. Thanks, Ant.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I just stumbled across it through a new job, and I've started using it in my personal stuff too. It's very useful, and it's just awesome that it's free.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering how this would work with Tanis' glasses.
Like, their paid tier isn't such that you need it.
Or however. Because I know you've been doing a lot with Steam Deck, but this would fill the other half.
Oh, yeah. I would need it on an iOS, though.
Oh, yeah, right. Because that's what you connect the glasses to, right? Got it. All right. What have we been doing? Tanis, you said you had a new project.
Yeah, I've been working on the main. I've been working on wood cutting and construction. So during double XP, I ran through like 20k protein planks.
Oh my god!
So fast. It was so fast though, and so I quickly realized that I was going to need a lot more. So I was woodcutting, I was cutting elders a little bit, and then I was doing idols and bamboo, and then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna need mahogany logs eventually. I could go ahead, cut my logs,
kingdom,
run my that too. But since I'm woodcutting anyway, I thought, what the hell? We'll do it like we used to do it.
Oh, boy.
The only difference is now we have porters, which is, nice. And my inspiration was the mining that I did, right?
Right.
Like, 'cause when I went to Smith, I ended up with, pretty good money and didn't have to pay, and so that's kind of where the inspiration for this came. My guess is I'm going to have all the logs and stuff that I need well before I ever even get close to 120 woodcutting.
I'm wondering how you're going to feel about if they were ever to add on to woodcutting in that case.
Oh, I mean, I hope they do.
Okay.
I hope that they do. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. That's like, that's like saying, oh, they cured cancer. Well, that ain't fair. Look at all the people that died. Like, no, that doesn't work like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm working on. I did get my fresh start account from 50 to 91 construction. Over double XP doing 4 and 3. I was real curious to see if that was going to be like the level band. It was going to be really good. It was the same. So,
yeah. As we anticipated,
it
became about 50 ish where it stopped being beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was as we anticipated. All right. How about you, Zant?
So I haven't been playing RS much, if anything, just some divination here and there. Slowly working on 120, and I really want Willow. And I'm kind of worried it's not going to happen before 120. Yeah, that happened to me with Dungeoneering. I didn't get it.
Oh, God. Don't remind me of that. I hope I never decide to go for all pets, because I don't want to get the Dungeoneering one.
That's the one I wanted the most, because I just think he's really cool. Like, I love the Garagos. I just think they're really cool looking. I didn't get into like doing on ED2 like way later.
Ugh.
But I recently got, so this is like not RuneScape related, but I did recently get the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass thing that gives you a bunch of old N64 and Game Boy games on the Switch. And Game Boy games are kind of like the new thing. They revealed that the recent Direct and kind of just like shadow dropped it right then.
Yeah.
So I've got a bunch of old Game Boy and Game Boy Color games I'm kind of like getting back into again, and the main one I've been playing is this old game on N64 called Paper Mario.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh, such a good game. It was
breakthrough in some category, I think, right?
Yeah. It was kind of like a sequel-ish to Super Mario RPG.
Okay. Right.
But one of my favorite YouTubers, Chugga Conroy, he's been doing a Let's Play of it recently, and I've just watched a whole playthrough of it, and now I'm doing my own playthrough.
All right. Sounds yeah. good.
Sounds Other than good. That, just doing some outdoorsy stuff, too.
Yeah, that's always good.
Discovered there's a waterfall like 3 miles from me.
Ooh, neat. So. All right. As for me, Yak Track on RS3 dailies after 200 mil farming. Been cracking on completing the Garden of Charid comp requirement. I think I'm like 12 herb runs away from completing that, farming the daily, so that'll happen within the next week or so. So that's good. But aside from that, and Yak Track, we've been continuing our old school questing adventure, and I'm being very cognizant to not monopolize the podcast time with old school, because I feel like we could do that for a long time, and that's a different audience for that. But I will say, this past weekend unlocked the Zaya continent, and you know, just running around there and doing the introductory quests, it is exactly, I feel like, what the RS3 community has always been asking for when they ask for a new continent. And instead, you know, we have things like Anachronia, which is good after it became, you know, fully featured and whatnot. But this is the continent that the RS3 player base would have liked to have had, I think. And I'd be interested with that, you know, to see where Jagex would go if they were ever to add something like that to RS3. Because remember, this is in the far west of the Elvenlands, right? So, it's something I think would be interesting to have on RS3. And just the introductory quest and whatnot there, you know, very quintessential RuneScape quest. So that was the most recent quest over there, and I just wanted to bring some highlight to that as well. But that's what I've been up to, and of course, I'll just use this as an opportunity to remind everybody again about the monthly bit that we just recorded. It was certainly a different one, Tanis, wasn't it? And that it didn't normally end in the light and airy way that we always hoped, right? So
it's a little different.
That was there this week, but I also just want to bring up that we are running our annual RSBNB Update Help Wanted campaign. So if you're interested in all helping around the community with the podcast, whether that be something like guest hosting on the podcast, video editing, or if you think you have some other skill set that could be usable to us, just head on over to update.show/help and fill out the form there. We ask what you'd be interested in helping out in, what time zone you reside in, because, you know, sometimes time zones can be difficult. And most importantly, what kind of RuneScape player are you? Because, you know, if you're a skiller versus a quester, those are different update episodes that you'd be on, and we don't want to know when to reach out to you on that, and then just a way of contacting you. So if you're interested in being on the show, or you're interested in helping out with the community, just visit update.show/help. That's our usual call out. We put that out in the spring. So if you're interested in helping out this year, please do fill that out, and we'd be happy to have you on the podcast. And as Zant can tell you, it's a wonderful experience, isn't it?
It's always good fun.
Yes.
And if you roast Shane all you want.
Yeah, that happens in pre-show a lot. And sometimes even in actual show, and I'm not told until after the fact that it happened.
Those are the best.
It's almost like you're foreshadowing what's about to happen, Shane.
I know. I imagine one or two of those might be coming from this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want the magic delivered automatically to you, best way to do that is to subscribe on any podcast listener out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Casts, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. You'll get them automatically delivered to you, like last week's Behind the Crown featuring Maud Surma. That was such a fun and interesting discussion to have.
It was a very good one.
Because all these J-Mods, they all bring such a unique perspective of where they came from. And we don't normally get to talk about that. And that's one thing that Behind the Crown does, is it showcases that origin story. And for that, we're so grateful that they spend the time with us. So To get all the episodes and especially the Behind the Crowns, just visit update.show/subscribe. And we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where the video versions of the podcast get posted. But with that being said, we'll be back next week. We'll be discussing ModJack's drop table live stream. We didn't know that that was happening this week, and it got into our production workflow too late this week, but it'll be on next week's show. But with that being said, thank you for joining us, everybody, and we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSVM Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.
Later.